Welcome to Blessings from Beulah Street, this weekly program of timeless Southern gospel music and a thoughtful message is brought to you by the Mount Calvary Community Church in Alexandria, Virginia. Along the way, we trust you'll find hope, forgiveness, and resurrection in the music and the message. All throughout the Bible, we are assured of a home in heaven if we simply place our trust in Christ. Now, here are the Mount Calvary Singers with a Stuart Hamblin song that speaks directly to that theme. This one is called First Day in Heaven on Blessings from Beulah Street.
Well, it's a great, great morning, your first day in heaven, when you stroll down the Golden Avenue. There are mansions left and right, and you thrill at every sight, and the saints are always smiling, saying, how do you do? Oh, it's a great, great morning, your first day in heaven, when you realize your worry days are through. You'll be glad you were not idle, took time to read your Bible. It's a great morning for you.
I had a dream, I must confess, I hated to awake. I dreamed I was an angel at that great pearly gate.
St. Peter said, well, hello there, just where have you been?
We've got your mansion ready, so come right in.
Then he rang for an angel to act as a guide.
He spread his wings a time or two and knew how to fly.
Well, it's a great, great morning, your first day in heaven, when you stroll down the Golden Avenue. There are mansions left and right, and you thrill at every sight. And the saints are always smiling, saying, how do you do? Oh, it's a great, great morning, your first day in heaven, when you realize your worry days are through. You'll be glad you were not idle, took time to read your Bible. It's a great morning, great morning. What a happy day.
It will be a great morning on that first day in heaven. Up next on Blessings from Beulah Street, a tune that says we can expect more than a cottage when we reach heaven's gates and move into our Father's house. I move into my Father's house on Heaven's Avenue. That's the Mount Calvary Singers on Blessings from Beulah Street. In this week's message, Mount Calvary's Associate Pastor Matt Lanham talks about worry and how the Bible addresses this problem.
If you have your Bibles, you can turn to the book of Philippians chapter 4. We'll be looking at verses 6 and 7. Philippians 4, 6 and 7. This translation says this, "Don't worry about anything, but in everything, through prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus." Let's go to the Lord one more time in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you so much for another opportunity to be in your house this morning. And I pray as we look into your word in the next few minutes that the words that I say would not be mine, but that they would be yours, and that you would have the message for us that you would want us to have for this time. We thank you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand this morning, but think about this question. How many of you have ever worried about anything? Anything. Well, Brother Harold did raise his hand, but that's okay. I'll raise my hand right there with you. Worry. We talked about, and even in the prayer request this morning, it was mentioned several times about folks that were facing depression and anxiety and worry and everything else. And, you know, we were talking about COVID and all these things and all of these troubles and worries that come up into our lives. And countless times, I know we can look back and say, yep, I was worried about that. I was worried about what was going to happen when I was in this situation. Going to talk a little bit about worry in the next few minutes. We're not going to keep you long. But using this passage from Apostle Paul here in his letter to the Philippians, here in Philippians 4, talking about worry. Came across a story a long time ago, but I was reminded of it when I was preparing this message. And it's a story about a woman that for several years, she'd been having trouble getting to sleep at night. Because she was so afraid that someone was going to break into her house. She couldn't sleep at night because she was afraid that someone was going to break into her house. And then one night her husband, who had no trouble sleeping, I don't have anyone in mind about this, by the way, but her husband, who had no trouble sleeping, heard a noise downstairs. And of course, as any good husband would do, he got what he needed to go down to face this burglar. And sure enough, standing in front of him, on the first floor of their house was a burglar. And rather than meeting this burglar with force, he shook his hand and he said, "I am so happy to see you. I've been waiting 10 years to meet you, and my wife upstairs has been waiting just as long. Won't you come up and meet her?" It's a silly story. It's a silly story, but it has a message, because this woman in this story worried about something that she had no control over at all. And this worry kept her from sleeping. If you look it up and you look into medicine and medical science, you'll see that there's over 100 diseases that have been directly attributed to worry. Someone once said, "Worry will not only take away your physical energy, but it'll rob the soul of its stamina as well." It's the ultimate act of rebellion against the rule of God in a believer's life. And you might say, well, why is that? Worry says that God is dead. And if God is alive, he doesn't keep his promises, and he doesn't care about our situations. This morning, looking in this passage from the Apostle Paul in Philippians chapter 4, first of all, I want to look at a word about our problems. First of all, we see a caution to observe. Nowhere in any of the Bible, at least that I've found, if you found something, feel free to come up to me afterwards and show me, but there's nowhere in the Bible that I have found that says you'll never go through a problem. There's nowhere in the Bible that says, well, if you give your heart to Jesus and you turn your life over to him, it's going to be smooth sailing from there on out. You're never going to have a problem. You're never going to have a care. You're never going to have a trouble. In fact, my Bible tells me it's actually the complete opposite of that. We can look through the Bible and we can find countless examples of men and women who were serving God and doing what they were called to do, and yet there were troubles in their lives. There were trials and situations that they had to go through. I'm often reminded, and I have to go back to a guy named Job in the Old Testament, a man that said that he had a heart after God, a man who served God with everything that he had. And yet, when we read the story of Job, we see that he lost everything that he had. His health was taken from him. His family was taken from him. His children, his riches, everything that he had was taken from him. We can see it time and time again. Even the writer of this very letter, the Apostle Paul, if you look at his life, a man who, if you count up everything that's written in our Bible, wrote more than just about anybody else in the Bible, went through trial after trial and trouble after trouble. So we can see that there's a caution to observe. All of us are going to have problems. All of us are going to have trials. But he doesn't stop there. He gives us a command to obey. This translation says, "Don't worry about anything." The Apostle Paul, writing this, more than likely from a Roman prison, imprisoned for preaching the gospel, was saying, don't worry about anything. I don't know about you. If I were thrown into a prison for preaching the gospel, I don't know if I could write a letter. I'd like to think I could, but I don't think I could. Write a letter and say, don't worry about anything. God's got this. And yet time and time again, we see Paul doing just that. Don't worry about anything. One translation says, be careful for nothing. What is worry? If you look up the definition, you'll find it's a troubled state of mind resulting from concern about current or potential difficulties. If you look up the word in the dictionary, you'll also see that it actually comes from an Old English word that means to strangle. And it was referred to the practice of wolves killing sheep. I don't know if you've ever seen the National Geographic or some other show, or maybe you've had the opportunity to see it in the wild. But when you see a wolf stalking its prey, the very first thing that it does when it's going after a deer or something else, it goes right for the neck. And it strangles its prey to death. And that's exactly what worry does. It will strangle the very life out of you. Someone once said, worry is the interest that's paid on trouble before it falls due. Worry is the interest we pay on tomorrow's troubles. Worry pulls tomorrow's clouds over today's sunshine. Worry gives a small thing a big shadow. So we looked at what is worry. Well, I mentioned that worry is an act of rebellion. Why is worrying a sin? Plain and simple. It displays a lack of faith in the reality of God and in his ability to meet our needs. Worry calls God a liar. It doubts his ability to say that he's going to do exactly what he's promised that he said he would do. And it's as if you're saying, well, God, you either don't care or you're dead. You might say, well, why should a Christian not worry? There's several good reasons. God knows what you faced. He knows what you're going to face. He knows what you're currently facing. Not only that, God cares about what you face in life. He's promised to never leave us. He never promised, as I said, to never have us go through a trial and a tribulation. But he promised, even though we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, he will be there by our side to walk through us with it. He's promised to take care of us. So we've seen a word about the problem of our troubles and the worry that comes with those troubles. But Paul doesn't stop there. In verse 6, he says, don't worry about anything, but in everything, through prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. If we can't worry, then what can we do? We can pray. Instead of worrying, the child of God is counseled to pray. When Paul talks about praying, he uses three words in this verse. He talks about prayer, he talks about petition, he talks about requests. We can see that prayer, that's a pretty easy one to understand. It's a general word for coming into the presence of the Lord. It carries the idea of acknowledging God for who he is. It speaks of adoration, of worship, of devotion. Someone once said, when we get our eyes off our troubles and can focus them on the face of our Heavenly Father, then he grows larger in our hearts and our problems grow smaller in our minds. When troubles come in our life, one of the greatest sources of strength that we possess is our ability to take those problems to God in prayer. Second word that he mentions is the word petition. Another translation says supplication, and it refers to an earnest sharing of our burdens, our needs, our problems. It speaks not of flippant prayers that just say, God, help me. Although sometimes, in the midst of a trial and a tribulation, that's the only thing that you can have the strength to say is, God, help me. He'll listen to that prayer, but he wants us to pray specifically. He wants us to share our burdens. He wants us to share a fervent prayer about the needs that move our soul. He wants his children to pray, and to pray with a passion about the things that move our hearts and our souls. Lastly, Paul mentions requests. This word refers to detailed prayer about specific issues. We need to learn to pray specifically about what's troubling us. Many times, and I know I've been guilty of this many times, we pray around the issue, but we never pray in a specific manner. We should never be afraid to approach God with the specific needs of our life. James tells us that we can come boldly into the throne room of grace. God wants to hear our prayers. God wants to hear us cast our care upon Him. I know in my own life, many times I've been guilty of saying, well, you know, this problem's just too small. I can handle this on my own. God's got bigger things to worry about. But that's not what this verse says. This verse says God wants to hear our requests. God wants to hear our needs. So we've seen a little bit about the act of prayer, the atmosphere of prayer. Paul says that we are to do this not just in the big things, not just in the small things, like I just said, but in everything. In verse 6, he says, but in everything, through prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. Nothing is too big for God. Nothing is also too small for God. Paul also mentions something about the attitude of prayer that we should have. Also in verse 6, he says, our praying should be done in the attitude of thanksgiving. Don't worry about anything, but in everything, through prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. When was the last time you just went to God and said, thank you for what you've done? When was the last time you said, God, I don't really have any needs right now. I don't really have any requests to bring to you, but I just want to thank you for answering all the other requests, answering all the other needs, sticking with me through the trials and the tribulations and the storms that you've brought me through. He wants us to come to Him in prayer with a heart and an attitude of thanksgiving. So we've looked at the problem. We've looked at prayer, which was Paul's answer to the problem. Lastly, and real quickly, I want to look at what the promise, and the promise is that Paul writes about here concerning our worries. God wants us to know that there are some precious promises that can be ours if we come to a place where we can present our requests and our needs to Him in prayer. First of all, God promises us His peace. In verse 7, Paul writes this, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. We're promised His peace. What is peace? And the best definition that I've ever heard is this: peace is tranquility of the soul. It's a kind of peace that he says passes all understanding. In other words, it's a mind-blowing experience. It's something that we can't even comprehend. It's a state of being where you can calm your heart and your mind despite and in spite of the turmoil that's going on around you. It's the kind of peace that Jesus had when he was in a boat sleeping, when his disciples were in the same boat and the storm was raging all around them and they were bailing water quicker than it was coming in and they were afraid they were going to die. It's the same peace that allowed Jesus to fall asleep in the boat and sleep through the storm until they woke him up and said, we're going to die. That's the kind of peace that he's promised us. It's the kind of peace that three Hebrew boys with the funny names had when the king told them, you're going to bow down and worship this idol, or I'm going to throw you in this fiery furnace and kill you. It's the same peace that allowed them to say, okay, we're going to keep on serving God. We don't serve you. It's the same peace that Daniel had when the same king said, you're either going to stop praying or I'm going to throw you into this den of lions. It's the same peace that Daniel had when he said, nope, I'm not going to stop praying. I'm going to keep on praying even while they're throwing me into the middle of the den of lions. Not only does God promise us His peace, but He promises us His preservation. We're told that God's peace will keep our hearts and our minds. When Paul mentions the heart, he's referring to the seat of emotions. The heart is the place from which our feelings come. And when he mentions the mind, he's referring to the place where we do our thinking. And what is worry if it isn't a problem with our feelings and a problem with our thinking? When we see our burdens, our problems, and our fears through human eyes, it's only natural for us to get overwhelmed with those problems and those burdens, and to get overwhelmed and give in to the temptation of worry. God's promise is that His peace will keep our hearts and our minds. If you look up that word keep in the original Greek, and in this translation it says guard, and that's exactly what it means, to stand guard over. Like I said, Paul wrote this letter, many believe, from a Roman prison, chained probably to a Roman guard, imprisoned for preaching the gospel. And so I'm sure it was this image in his mind of this Roman guard chained to him, standing guard over him, that he had when he said, just like this guard that's standing guard over me to keep me from escaping this prison, to keep me in check, God has promised to guard and stand guard over our hearts, over our minds, to keep our hearts and our minds from giving in to temptation of worry, to keep our hearts and minds resting in the peace that he's promised to give us. I don't know, you know, we've shared prayer requests this morning. I don't know everything that you're going through. Maybe there's things that you're going through that you haven't even shared with anybody. God has promised no matter how big or how small the problem might be, he cares about each and every one of them. He cares about you, and he cares about the problems that you're going through. It's so easy in our human nature to let that worry creep in. When those things arise all around us, the storm is raging all around us, the problems overwhelm us, it's easy to cry out and say, why am I going through this? It's easy to let the worry overtake us and say, I can't do this. On our own, if we were on our own, that would be the case. God has promised, as we read in Paul's words this morning, to give us his peace, and that he will keep and guard our hearts and our minds from worry. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you for the promise that no matter what we go through, no matter what trial we face, no matter what circumstance we might find ourselves in, no matter how high the storm and how hard the storm rages around us, you've promised that you would be there with us in the midst of it. No matter how hard the situation might get, you've promised to never leave us. You've promised to stick closer than any friend, closer than any brother, and you've promised, if we'll just claim it, to give us the peace that passes all understanding. You've promised to guard and stand guard over our hearts, over our minds, from this temptation of worry and the anxiety and the depression and all the things and the diseases and the problems that go along with it. I pray this morning, whatever the situation might be that someone might find themselves in this morning, I pray that you would help us as your children to turn to you, to bring our requests, our petitions to you in prayer, and to cast our care upon you because you care about us. Lord, if there's one here within the sound of my voice that I'm sure they've gone through trials, they've gone through tribulations, but they've never accepted you as their Savior. And the things that we've talked about, that peace and all of those things that go along with it, and go along with accepting you and serving you, might sound good, but they've never had it because they've never accepted you. I pray that you'd help them to make that first step and to step out in faith and accept you as their Savior. And Lord, we know that you'll welcome them with open arms into the family of God, and that you'll give them that same promise that you'll never leave them or forsake them. We thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen.
You'll read about tomorrow and what the future holds. Your mind is filled with questions as you face the unknown. You've spent so many sleepless nights trying to work it out. Worry has consumed your faith with all its fear and doubt. But worry ends where faith begins, when you put it in God's hands and leave it there. Oh,
Why should we fret at all when worry only hinders the mighty hand of God? He says it is impossible to please Him without faith. So lay aside your worry, walk on in Jesus' name. Trust in Him and take a hold of faith again. For worry ends where faith begins. He's still in control, so trust in Him and take a hold of faith again. For worry ends where faith.
Ends where faith begins. That's the Wisnitz on Blessings from Beulah Street. Thank you for joining us for Blessings from Beulah Street from Mount Calvary Community Church, the little church by the side of the road in Alexandria, Virginia. If you have a prayer request, if you'd like more information about the church, or if you'd like to speak with someone at Mount Calvary Community Church, please call us at 703-971-0165. We'd love to hear from you. Mount Calvary Community Church is located at 6731 Beulah Street in Alexandria, Virginia. You can find live webcasts of our Sunday service on Facebook and find us online at www.mountcalvary.cc. Now, on behalf of Pastor Charlie Wood and everyone at Mount Calvary Community Church, I'm Roger Wallace. Thanks for listening.